Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to True Restoration's Tolkien Book Club on member-supported Restoration Radio. I'm your host, Charles Borchard, and today we are joined once again by Alexander Kay. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Charles. Happy to be here.
So we'll get right into it. Today's episode, we are talking about Chapter 4, Over and Under Hill of the Hobbit. First off, Alex, what did you just think of this chapter in general?
I thought it was such a great chapter. I mean, there's so much going on in here, and there's so much great descriptions and lines that Tolkien puts in. It's just a fantastic little chapter. It's really action-packed. It's only, I think, like 10 pages or so, but so much happens in here. And to start at the beginning there, they've started their journey through the mountains, right? We alluded to that in the last episode where they were talking about the difficulty of navigating through the passes and such. And so I guess that's the first place we can really, well, let me not get ahead of myself. Let's just talk about the chapter, and then we'll get into some of the Catholic elements of it. So they're going through the passes, and then we get this great moment. I remember this from when I was a child, when I first read the book, and just being amazed by it. But they talk about these thunderstorms in the mountains, and he calls them, it's more of a thunder battle. And just the imagery of that in my mind, like a thunder battle. And then you find out about the stone giants hurling stones, and it's just like, it's something like when you're a child, it's like, wow, like, you know, giants in the mountain hurling stones, you got lightning everywhere. It's just, it's fantastic.
One thing that made me think about, which I think Tolkien does to a masterful degree, is placing this idea of at the fringe of your imagination, at the sort of the depths of your sort of subconscious conception about, you know, say you're a child and you're wrapped up in bed and there's a thunderstorm happening outside, you get this, you know, your imagination can run wild and with what's happening. And I think what Tolkien does so masterfully is he sort of puts a label on it, and he creates this moment within the story where it feels so familiar because it feels so deeply rooted in this idea almost of what it is to have like this child's imagination of the unknown wrapped up in something. But he creates these things where he makes it familiar, the thunder battle, the stone giants, and just gives it such a, you can almost grasp it but not quite, because it's still so much at the fringe of our imagination and our consciousness, which is why I think it's so good that he doesn't over explain everything that happens in that thunder battle as well. It's described just enough to let our imagination continue doing the rest of the work.
That's a great way to put it. And you can just picture him, you know, like a thunderstorm with his children at night, and he's like telling them this, you know, and maybe every time it thundered, you know, oh, the stone giants are out and the thunder battle is going on, and just the wide-eyed looks from his kids. Like, you could just picture that, you know, because we know that a lot of this is what he was telling them. As you said, I think in our last episode, this was a story that he had told them, then they would mix it up, or he would mix it up, and finally he set it down to get the exact details in. So it's just a beautiful thing. And after that, we have them, you know, obviously trying to seek shelter, and you get this great part where I think it was Feely and Keely, they send out, they're like, we can't stay here, you know, we have to find better shelter. And so they send out Feely and Keely to find a better cave. And there was a line where they said something like, they came back so quickly, they're like, oh yeah, we found a cave. And they're like, but they knew that they come back so quickly, surely they couldn't have explored the cave that well. Mm-hmm. And they end up going there, they're like, we explored it, it's not that deep. And so they get there and they seek shelter, and it's just, you know, they were right, they had explored it, it wasn't that deep. And then we find out that through magic, the rest of the cave was hidden, and while they're asleep, a crack opens at the back of the cave, and it was a wide passage, and we have Bilbo dreaming this happening, and he wakes up in this reality. They get captured by what they call the goblins, but I think in the Pierce book or somewhere, the goblins that are referred to in this chapter are not, I don't know what you think of when you think of goblins, Charles, but like for me, a goblin is like a short...